The regularly scheduled Fire and Water Podcast Network podcast will not be heard tonight, so that we may bring you the following special presentation. The Universe of Earth 1, April 25th, 1984.
I thought you checked the astronomical almanac, Lamo. So why did we run into that thar meteor shower?
You did want to make this therapeutic larceny more exciting, Entity Terra Man, did you not?
You mean you knew about it and let us get caught in it on purpose? Did somebody done stole your rudder? Now we're running late. We need to make this here beeline through Galactic Zone 721 if we're gonna catch that Centaurus 7 transport.
Galactic Zone 721 has been designated a major transwarp throughway. I do not advise we...
As long as we stay on the edge, we should be fine. Now we gotta ski-daddle if we want to hit that... What in tunderation? Am I hearing what I think I'm hearing?
You are experiencing an automated telepathic translation of a signal to stop. Generated from a Green Lantern ring. Assigned to Space Sector 2811.
You mean we now's got a Green Lantern wanting to pull us over?
Affirmative. I would advise you cooperate.
And I advise you make yourself scarce. Bad enough I gotta talk my way out of this without stinking of your own energy.
Acknowledged. Initiating full shutdown.
Whoa, Nova. Whoa. That's it. Let's just settle down and play nice-like, okay, boy? Howdy, officer. Nice night for space riding, ain't it?
Greetings, flat-brimmed head-pieced humanoid. I am Neeb Lahr, Green Lantern of Space Sector 2811. This galactic zone is designated a major transwarp throughway. Only ships are allowed in this area. You will have to take your... Is that an Arguvian space steed?
It sure ain't a unicorned Fizbian. Say, I thought you Green Lanterns are too uppish to be dealing with something so low as traffic duty.
Space traffic laws are still laws, and I have a sworn duty to uphold all of the laws in this sector. Especially the little ones.
Are you for real?
No, that's just how the Green Lantern Patrol Handbook states I should respond. Between you and me, space traffic duty sucks.
Wait, so Green Lanterns really do space traffic duty?
It's the entry-level position.
Heh, so you really are a Green Lantern.
Yes. Neeb Lahr, Green Lantern of Space Sector 2811. And working my way through space traffic duty that is so Nording dull. This is actually the first moving violation I've seen in Zonks. Though this is a surprise. It's not every Zink I encounter an actual Arguvian space steed. May I?
Nova here tends to get a bit wrathy with strangers. If you still want a hand to wire your ring with, you best let him be.
Oh. That's too bad, being such a rare... I don't suppose you have an owner's license for...
Committed to the bit, huh?
Animal ownership laws are still laws.
Okay. Give me a minute. Here you are.
The DC Superstars Society?
That's the most prestigious ace-high animal ownership association where I'm from. Nothing like them Bud Seal animal clubs. My membership card doubles as a license. See how it's got that thar code on the back?
Uh-huh. And just where are you from, Entity Clark Kent?
That's Clark Kent, or just Kent for short. I'm from Earth.
Earth? Oh, the third planet from star system Sol.
That's right.
The Lanterns talk a lot about that planet. Apparently there's a big shot ringslinger that comes from there. But you're quite a long way from Sol 3.
Oh, well, I'm looking to make a move to another planet in these here parts. New working opportunity, you know. In fact, I gotta go meet my realtor. Show me a real fine spread on Centauri 7. Down just a hooter and a holler yonder that way. I don't suppose you could just let me and this here beaut of an Arguvian spice tea continue on since we've come this far?
He is a beauty, all right. I mean, what I can do is let you off with a warning this time, but you are going to have to turn around and find a different route to where you are going. I can ring up a temporary guidance system that will last long enough to safely and legally guide you to Centauri 7.
Greetings and salutations. I am Lanos, the Lightspeed Astronautical Navigation Operating System.
That's all right. One lame-o is plenty. I have my star map right here and know the way. I was just running late, so thought I'd take a shortcut like, you know.
Sorry, sir, truly, but I gotta uphold the space traffic laws.
Right, right. Because there are still laws, and you're sworn to...
Because if I don't, I'll never level up to freight shipment crossing guard duty. I mean, you will just have to be late for your appointment, Entity Kent.
Right. Well, I best get going. Good luck moving on up, Niblar.
Why, thank you. And best wishes for your move as well.
Yeah.
Actual Arguvian space deed. I never thought I'd see the zinc. Ah, frim! I should have taken a foot image shot!
Now that mush-headed mud seal made me run even more behind than...
You should realize, Entity Terraman, that space traffic duty is not a menial occupation. It enables safe and orderly transportation of spacefaring vessels through...
Lame-o, I don't care about that cushy little...
The duty itself can actually be quite dangerous if space pilots do not follow the directions of...
I said I don't care about that right now. We missed our window thanks to that Greenhorn's traffic stop. Now our planned robbery of that mining shipment had done gone.
Actually, with our interspatial time conveyor, we can never be late.
Oh, yeah. Now why didn't I think of that?
Because you have me to think of it for you.
You know, Lame-o, sometimes you can be such a pompous ass.
Oh,
2811, what's your status? Over.
Oh, hey, Paulian. Say, you won't believe what I saw crossing into this major transwarp throughway 10 zooks ago. In actual Argoon.
Say, did you hear? About 8 zooks before now, there was a 317 of a Stellarium and Tellarium shipment en route from the Centauri 7 mining colony to the Glom Galaxy on Space Expressway 23. The perpetrator managed to slip through all of the securoscopes. A lot of lanterns are being dispatched to the area now.
Lucky stiffs. Centauri 7, you say? I just...
But get this. Witnesses say the perp fled on an Arguvian space steed. Can you believe it? I've never seen one up close. Have you?
As a matter of fact, I... Say, is there a description of the suspect?
Humanoid male with a height of about 7 glarks wearing a flat-brimmed headpiece. He also seemed to be using a device similar to our light-speed astronautical navigation operating system.
What? But he didn't...
Why? You think he might be heading your way?
Even if he did have transwarp capabilities, somehow he couldn't possibly have traveled all the way to Expressway 29 in two Zooks, could he?
Well, if you do see him, make sure to take some Fatimid shots. It's not every Zink you come across in Arguvian space, Steed.
Yeah, sure. Say, Paulian, I just remembered, I gotta take care of something.
Yes. A Lantern's duty is indeed the most...
I don't know how he did it, but my... How does that hotshot Lantern 2814 say it? Oh, yeah. But my gastric juices tell me that Space Steed Rider is our culprit.
Greetings and salutations. I am Lanos, the Lightspeed Astronaut.
Lanos, I need you to plot a direct transwarp course from here to...
You will need to relocate to a non-ship-faring zone in order to initiate...
Override.
But regulations in Section 4697A of the Green Lantern Patrolman Handbook stipulate that...
Frag the handbook! We've got a dangerous criminal on the loose, and I actually have a clue of where he may be hiding out.
But leaving your assigned post is a violation of...
Override! Plot a direct transwarp course to Sol 3, Space Sector 2814.
Acknowledged. Notifying Lantern 2814 to rendezvous at...
Belay that! I'm gonna bring this guy in myself.
Acknowledged.
Ring, access Owen database. Pull up everything the Corps has on a Clark Kent from Earth. If I can collar this perp before the other Lanterns, maybe the Guardians will bump me up to Junior Assistant Constable Support, or at least up to Luminary Sustenance Evaluator.
Transwarp course is set.
Okay, Ring, hot pursuit! Ooh, I'm gonna love this!
I tell you, Lemo, that cloaking device I done strung together worked like a charm. Made them fancy Securoscopes look like a bunch of blind mules.
Agreed. As I had agreed the previous four times you had told me, using the metaphors of a blind cat, a sleeping weasel, an eyeless spider, and a myopic...
Maybe you better go and stash our stash. And make the old switcheroo with the,
Tellurium has the unique property of converting mental energy into heat. So I will replace the 3.7 quadnarks of tellurium we had stolen with 3.7 quadnarks of anthracite, which I will transport from a disused mine in northeastern Pennsylvania. As for the 1.8 quadnarks of Stellarium...
That's fine, Lemo. Just get going. I think I hear Grundy a-coming.
Acknowledged.
Skin like cream, Solomon Grundy. Solomon Grundy.
Hey, little cowboy man. You seen Lemo computer anywhere? Grundy call Lemo computer, but Lemo computer not appear. Oh, I have him, doing the regular checkup of our atomic generator out back. You know, to keep the professor's Earth 1 home fires burning. Didn't little cowboy man say Lemo computer run power checkup yesterday? Did I say that? Well, it's a daily check, Grundy. Can't be too careful when it comes to atomic power. Oh. Well, when little cowboy man see Lemo computer, tell Lemo computer Grundy looking for him. Might I ask what about? Or am I gonna regret asking? Well, Grundy thinking of making Grundy podcast. And wondering if Lemo computer can help Grundy. A Grundy podcast? Right. Grundy Podcast, all about Grundy. Starring Grundy. Grundy thought Grundy do what little Professor Man does. Read comic story and talk about it. Except Grundy read Grundy comic stories. And Grundy talk about Grundy comic stories. Since Grundy there in comic story and lived it. Like what Grundy done with you and Little Professor Man back when we tell Grundy comic story of Flying Man pretended to be other Grundy to trick Grundy. Solomon Grundy hate Flying Man.
That makes two of us.
Grundy thought Grundy read Grundy comic stories one at a time. From first one when Grundy born on Monday to last one where Grundy fight giant ice wall. All in order. But Grundy need lame old computer to help pull up Grundy comic story scan files, since Little Professor Man won't let Grundy touch Little Professor Man's comic books.
Oh yeah, ever since you tore up all them Golden Age Green Lanterns.
Solomon Grundy hate Green Lantern.
I don't hold him in high regard neither, now that I met one.
Huh?
Nary a mind.
Maybe Lamo be Grundy's podcast sidekick on Grundy Podcast 2. Help explain stuff about how Grundy travel on light beams and control wood with Grundy mind and all that. Also have funny banter bits.
I see.
And Grundy got Grundy Podcast theme song all wrote out. Little cowboy man, listen. Marshland monster with face that mean, lots of muscle and skin like cream, Solomon Grundy, Solomon Grundy.
Skin like cream?
Cream rhyme with mean. And talk about Grundy's skin moisturizing routine with slaughter swamp water Grundy keep in refrigerator, next to cream.
Uh-huh. Well, I'll pass a message to old Lame-O soon as I see him.
Thanks, little cowboy man. Grundy go and think of funny banter bits Lame-O computer and Grundy can do. Bye, little cowboy man. Marshland monster with face that mean, lots of muscle and skin like cream, Solomon Grundy, Solomon Grundy,
Solomon... Here.
Exchange of mineral compounds complete.
Well, all right. And get this, Grundy's wanting to be doing his own podcast to pass the time, except he wanted your help to do it.
Acknowledged. I will confer with entity Solomon Grundy to determine the parameters of...
Lame-O, how are you going to be helping Grundy with his podcast when we're going to be making with the swiping and the switching?
I am capable of performing up to 5 quintillion processing tasks at once.
Except you won't be here to do the other 5 quit-wits-it tasks if you're out there in the past with me.
Oh. I suppose I can develop a separate artificial intelligence construct for Entity Grundy to use for his podcast.
You can do that?
I have already commenced constructing the framework. Though I will require one of the isolinear chips from your Gobdorian computer system that you keep in the podcast studio in order to contain this programming.
Well, I'm sure I can spar.
And I will inform Entity Solomon Grundy that I would be unable to assist him directly, since I will be conducting therapeutic larcenies with...
Now hold up, Darlamo. We can't tell Grundy about this stuff neither. He's likely to blab it to the professor. And then he'll find out about your little robot project.
Oh. So how do I explain to Entity Solomon Grundy why I cannot help him?
'Cause you're already working on another podcast. With me.
You? You will attempt to create a podcast without the expertise of Entity Zoom Yukinori?
Grundy thinks he can do one. And he doesn't even have a B.A., a B.S., an M.A., an M.S., a D.D.S., a Ph.D., an M.M.Z., an R.T.D., a Q.E.D., a P.D.Q., an R.F.D., or a U.C.L.A.
And you do?
Don't need 'em, 'cause I'm already an expert in my own life. We just need to sit down and read my own comic book ventures in the professor's collection and talk about 'em as we go. We'll do them all in order, starting with my first showdown with Superman and ending with the time old Soupy had that blue horn deputy protecting Metropolis. It ain't hard. I just came up with this podcast idea just now.
Indeed.
And when we have all of these podcasts ready to go, Grundy and the professor will be thinking we're spending all of our time on that, so they won't get wise to what we're really doing.
I comprehend. And when do you plan to begin recording your first podcast episode?
As soon as you can pull up the files for my first appearance in a Superman comic. Well, after I visit the private first. Meet you downstairs in 5.
Acknowledged.
After these messages, we'll be right back.
Over the years, the Fire and Water Podcast Network has tackled every aspect of the comic book form. The writers, the artists, the stories, the characters. We've examined formats large and small, and even broken a comic down to a single panel. But now, the Fire and Water Podcast Network goes where no other comic book podcast has dared. We go off the grid to the page numbers. 1, 2, 7, 11, 16, 32, 48, even the rare 61 will all be covered. Topics such as left, right, or center, italicized or no, those weird ads Marvel ran at the bottom of pages in the 1970s, and John Costanza's mysterious inverted page 13s will all be discussed. You can't read a comic without knowing what page you were on, and now you can't read a comic without listening to this podcast. It's Pagination Nation, coming to the Fire and Water Podcast Network. Count on it.
It's here. Now, that's what I call Terra Man.
My Nova's flown 500 parsecs and I'd gone done 500 more to be that man who'd flown 1,000 parsecs. Could you ask for more? Soy un perdidor. I'm a loser, Soupy, so why don't you kill me?
Karaoke's newest star.
If I'm a podcast host, will you still call me Terror Man? When I do karaoke, will you still fare the mic in my hand?
The latest hits.
It's now 1981. I'm a little drunk and I need you now. Said I wouldn't go, but I lost all control. Gonna fight you now. Then along came you, and I know it's true. Who nasty boys need love? To you. Them new kids hate old school. Say flying horses uncool. I'd been done brushed aside since 1985.
An incredible 5 CDs.
So tell me, did you log on to Facebook page? Did you make it to your Twitter feed to find it full of hatred? Yeah, fandom is overrated. And I miss you. Like I miss the old Bronze Age, I miss Big Blue. Like the heavens miss the rain. A polluting exec with regrets he repents and goes to lengths to help the environment. What?
Music for everyone.
'Cause I'm just a cowboy dirtbag, baby. Yeah, I'm just a no-good polecat, baby. Heading for the hooscow, maybe, baby. Woohoo! It don't matter where I am because can I help but look for you everywhere? In a city phone booth, the Daily Planet windows. I keep fooling myself thinking I might find you there. Break it down.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, whoa.
Now, that's what I call Terra Man.
Whoa, 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 whoa. Whoa, 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 whoa.
Stop. Terra Time. Howdy, and welcome to Tales of the Terra Man, where I tell you all about the comic adventures of the one and only Terra Man, starring me, the Terra Man. Now, Warren Tunderation is my podcasting partner.
Greetings and salutations. I am?
Well, if it ain't lame-o.
It ain't?
Ha ha, that's what I like about good old Lame-O. You can always count on him to add a little comic relief to this here podcast. While he may have all this factual knowledge in his electronic noggin, Lame-O's so dumb he wouldn't know how to drive nails in a snowbank.
An admirable attempt at mockery, Entity Terra Man. However, I am well aware that nails do not possess the vehicular capacity needed to be driven.
See what I mean?
Query. Is a snowbank an actual repository for flakes of frozen water vapor? Similar to how a piggy bank is a repository for creatures of the Sascrofa domestica species that are diminutive in nature?
All right, now you're carrying the joke a little too far now.
I was not aware that a humorous cognitive concept could actually be physically lifted and transported across a distance that...
Lame-O, that's enough. Hush up now. We's gotta get to the story. Seeing this here's our first Tales of the Terra Man, we might as well start with the first tale of the Terra Man.
I see what you did there. Referencing the works of Entity Stan Freeberg.
I'm a-talking about Superman Volume 1, Number 249, which I have in my hands right here.
Perhaps, Entity Terra Man, it would be best to review my digital scans of this comic book publication, to avoid any further damage to Entity Zoom Yukinori's physical copy.
Oh, right. Let's do that. Now, as I was saying, this here's Superman number 249, which introduces me, the Terra Man, Superman's latest and greatest foe.
That statement is not a reflection of Entity Terra Man's ego. He is referring to the caption on the cover of Superman, Volume 1, Number 249, stating that Entity Terra Man is indeed, quote, Entity Superman's latest and greatest foe.
Darn tootin'.
However, Entity Zoom Yukinori has often stated that comic book covers of this era are typically misleading of the actual details within...
Lame-O, tell me again why I saddled up with you as a podcasting sidekick.
You claim that the reason is to provide comic relief. But in actuality, you need my help to establish your alibi for the therapeutic larcenies in which we have perpetrated in the Earth-1 universe in the year 1984.
Right. We're just gonna cut that last part out of this here podcast in the editing stage.
You are darning and tooting, Entity Terra Man.
Why don't we just get back to the cover, drawn by none other than that living comic legend, Mr. Neil Adams.
It shows Soupy all knocked galley west, barely holding on to one of them spires atop the largest skyscraper in Metropolis. He's gaping up, in fear, at me, the Terror Man, riding top my Nova as we swoop up to stomp on him.
An impressive artistic display, to be sure.
Thar's no faultin' that Neil Adams feller. Except it did draw me without my stash.
Your stash of what?
You know, my stash. My crumb catcher, my soup strainer, this here thing I'm twirling maniacally right now.
Oh, your mustache. I have just realized that without your mustache in this image, you resemble singer entity Bob Dylan instead of actor entity Kurt Noland.
I suppose I do.
And did you not mean that you and Equinova were going to stomp on entity Superman again? The tears on entity Superman's costume at his left shoulder, right forearm, and left thigh indicate that he had already been stomped by Equinova previously.
Oh, well, actually...
And according to my database, entity Superman's costume was composed of indestructible Kryptonian fabric that would be unable to tear even when stomped by...
That's because this here scenario didn't happen, lame-o. It's one of them representations like.
Then you concur that entity Zoom Yukinori's observation regarding comic book covers being misleading of the actual details within the story would apply in this instance?
I just said it, didn't I?
Then would that not also apply to the cover caption that states...
Why don't you just wipe your chin and move on to page one of the story?
As you well know, I do not possess a chin to wipe. So I will proceed with your second instruction.
Well, all right. This here tale's called The Challenge of Terror Man. That's me. Curry Bates wrote it. Swan Anderson drew it.
Entity Kurt Swan was the penciler, and Entity Murphy Anderson was the inker.
And Julius Schwartz edited it. But I lived it. Okay, the first thing that happens is a 6-horse stagecoach with 2 drivers, Jess and Luke, making its way through downtown at sundown.
Downtown Metropolis, to be specific. And the slow-moving vehicle is holding up downtown traffic, as well as drawing a large crowd of onlooking entities.
As well as old entity Superman. He swoops down and lands beside the coach on the street to stop it. And Luke jumps down to face the so-called Man of Steel. Meanwhile, Jess tosses to Supes an Angratite strong box, telling him it's a special shipment from the Man. Luke warns Supe that the Man is gunning for him to settle a personal score. And ain't no point of hightailing it none neither. The Man can track anything that moves or flies. Jess adds that if he were Supes, he'd start saying adios to his loved ones. Then Luke gets back on the coach and they take off.
And by take off, the entire stagecoach, 6 Equins, entity Jess, and entity Luke, vanish, leaving entity Superman with the Angratite strongbox.
Yuh-huh. That's cause it was all a 3D illusion. Thanks to a special magic spacer by Chew Like Tobacco. It allows me to temporarily create any form of matter my mind dreams up. But the strongbox, now that's the real deal.
The magic space herb is actually referenced in the second story of this publication entitled...
Hey now, don't go spilling the beans on that just yet, lame-o. Let's stick with this here story page and talk about the strongbox.
Acknowledged. The crowd of entities on the street wants to know what is in the box, and asks Entity Superman to break it open with his incredible strength.
Yuh-huh.
But Entity Superman instead cautiously uses his X-ray vision powers to see what is inside, in case the box is breasted trapped.
You mean booby-trapped, lame-o. And it was. I had 3 packs of my special dynamite inside, with fuses that would be lit by intense X-ray beams.
So in being cautious, Entity Superman put himself and the crowd of entities around him in danger.
Yep, he fell for my little trick. If all of Super's brains were dynamite, there wouldn't be enough to blow his nose. Ha ha.
Entity Superman had barely enough time to super toss the box several thousand meters into the sky so that it detonates far from harm's way.
Shit, my dynamite tain't designed to cause no harm. It actually discharged a blast of lingoplasmic energy to write a message to Supes in the sky. Earth ain't big enough for the two of us, Superman. By sundown tomorrow, you'll be dead.
That message, as it appears on page 4, panel 3 of this comic book story, appears to be written in much more formal language, as well as proper English grammar.
What? Let me see. Huh. Probably that editor Ombre Schwartz had Bates rewrite it so as not to get any youngin's mamas all madder than a wet hen. You won't catch me talking all highfalutin' like that. Unless I was trying to make a mash on a pretty filly, maybe.
Such as Entity Barbara Gordon.
Lame-o.
Did you not display your nip and tuck only during the episode in which she was a guest host?
You mean my best bib and tucker, you addle-headed slop bucket. And I was just making her feel welcome. I knew afore I met her that lassie was way out of my league.
Indeed.
Well, you didn't have to agree with me so straight away.
Returning to page 4 of the tale, Entity Superman wonders what fantastic foe he is about to face when his body starts trembling all over.
I done sent that illusionary Jess and Luke and that lingoplasmic message just to give Superman fair warning, abiding by the cowboy code. You know, giving him time to settle his affairs and say his final goodbyes before I take him out. But it seems I also had him so scared he's quaking in his boots.
Onlooking entities in the crowd note that they had not seen Entity Superman perspire so profusely. And one entity asks out loud if the Kryptonian is trembling from fright and, quote, lost his nerve. However, in actuality...
That's nothing. Look here. Soup is all doubled over, clutching his little yellow belly. And the crowd's a-thinking he's gonna keel over from fright.
Not all of the entities in the crowd concur with that assessment, Entity Terra Man. As Entity Superman awkwardly flew away from the crowd, a female entity, referred to as Edie, thought Entity Superman must have strained himself when he threw the strongbox, and also mentioned that he may be unwell. Her life mate, which facial recognition scans identify as Entity Archie Bunker of Earth 1, states that it is impossible for Entity Superman to get sick, and believes that Entity Superman was simply deliberating how to, quote, handle this troublemaker who is out to get him.
Oh, I can make with the trouble, all right.
Entity Archie Bunker's hypothesis is correct, For on page 5, panel 4, Entity Superman is indeed assessing the recent situation as he hovers in the night sky 609 meters above the city. He notes that he faces a menace of contradictions. Your lingoplasmic bomb, to which he referred as a spellbinding bomb.
I like the sound of that.
As well as the illusionary delivery system, suggest a highly futuristic technology. Yet the stagecoach, entities Jess and Luke, and the strongbox were, quote, right out of the Old West. Entity Superman concludes that he is unsure of what threat to expect the next day, and believes he may be in no condition to protect himself or anyone else when
I came a-calling soups out at sunup. But I want to savor super's fare and dread a bit more afore we continue. So why don't we take a podcast promo break, and then we'll get to the big downtown showdown.
Hello, this is Vartox, the last Valeronian. But I'm sure you recognize me. I'd like to talk to you today about a reverse mortgage. What is a reverse mortgage? I am far too busy saving the universe to really learn what it is. But my understanding is when you get old, you take out a loan on your home and one of your Terran banks can eventually evict you. Look, as you weak humans get older, you need money and have little means to acquire it. Most of you have sank your currency into an ever-deteriorating domicile, so why not get some benefit from it? Why am I doing this commercial? Well, wearing thigh-high leather boots can cause even a superhuman to chafe, and powder isn't cheap, my friend. But it's also because I believe in reverse mortgages. Or at least that's what this teleprompter thing is telling me to say. So call the number below to receive a special packet telling you all about this reverse mortgage thing. At the very least, you'll get a book with my picture all over it, so it'll be a wonderful family heirloom for you and your descendants throughout the centuries. Call 1-800-VAR-TOX-1 now.
It's here. Now, that's what I call Lanos.
A fine little girl, she waiting for me. Catch a ship across the sea. Sail that ship out all alone. Me never think how I'll make it home.
Karaoke's newest star.
Entity Scatman. Skibidibidib, yo da dub dub. Yo da dub dub. Skibidibidib, yo da dub dub. Yo da dub dub. I am the Eggman. They are the Eggmen. I am the Walrus. Gugu a Jew.
The latest hits.
Well, a bird, bird, bird. Well, a bird is a word. Well, a bird, bird. But bird's a word. Look out, kid. It's something you did. God knows when, but you're doing it again. You better duck down the alleyway looking for a new friend. The entity in a coonskin cap in a pig pen wants $11 bills, and you have only got 10.
An incredible 5 CD.
Super scientifical sounds are soft. Silencing super fire saps that are soft. Tails 10 times talented, too tough. Take that, challengers, get a tune up. Universe. She's got electric boots. A mohair suit. You know I read it in a magazine. Oh ho.
Music for everyone.
JJ Palin, ZZ Top, and LLB, and DD Dinah, David Bowie, Steely Dan, Singer, Prater, CC Ryder, Edgar Winter, Jody Summers, Ice of March, Donnie Thunder, Eric Clapton, Panel Wawa, Stephen Buster, Do Not Do Not, Good Vibrations, Help Me Bonda, Surfer, Berlin, Little Honda, Type
Informer, you know, Say Daddy Snowy, I go blame. A licky boom boom damn. Detective Man, say, Say Daddy Snowy, stab someone down the lane. A licky boom boom damn.
Now, that's what I call Thanos.
I'll be your number one with a bullet. A loaded god complex, pocket and bullet.
Welcome back to Tales of the Terror Man, and my regalian of my first tale, The Challenge of Terror Man, chronicled in Superman Volume 1, Number 249.
We had left off at the end of page 5, which leads to the reveal of an underlying issue that Entity Superman experienced in his medical history, as shown on page 6.
Lamo, nobody cares about Superman's medical history, especially since we already said afore that he don't get sick.
That was actually a statement from Entity Archie.
Let's just get right to the showdown,
which took place on June 23rd, according to the 1976 Super DC calendar.
There we go. It starts here on page 9. Wait a minute. 1976? This showdown don't take place in 1976. It took place in 1971.
At 11:20 a.m. Coordinated Universal Time.
Or sunup. Metropolis time. Instead of putting his affairs in order like he was supposed to, Soupy's been sitting on top of that skyscraper all night, moping about his impending demise, I reckon. But now it's time for me and Nova to make our big entrance.
The entrance is indeed large, taking up the entire space of the bottom half of page 9. Entity Terra Man and his winged Equinova solemnly charge forward over the city from the east.
I like how me and Nova are the only things in color, except for the yeller sun behind us. And I like how that artist Schwanderson used them pixie dots on the sky and clouds there to make our appearance look so majestic.
Those pixie dots is actually a combination of Zipatone, a graphic design material that transfers gray tone dot patterns, and Craft Tint double tone drawing paper, which has a surface printed with silver nitrate line patterns blanched with mercuric chloride, which renders the patterns dormant until the artist applies
pixie dots, zippy dots, tomato patater. Don't matter what you call it, I like it. And look at that look on my picture on that picture there. I'm a definitely looking set to raise hob. This here panel's fine as cream gravy. I'm going to use it as my profile picture on my Facebook page.
And we should also include a digital facsimile of this and other pertinent pages from this comic book story on this show's gallery page. Available online at www.fireandwaterpodcast.com.
Yes, sirree. But first, back to my tale on page 10. I land my horse in the middle of Main Street, and no sooner do I dismount that old Soupy lands 20 paces away to face me for our showdown.
Entity Superman is satisfied that there are no entities and vehicles on the street this early in the morning.
Right, 'cause I'm abiding by the cowboy code. I only aim to get rid of Superman, none of them other city slickers. That's why I'd ride in at sunup while my lingoplasmic note told Soupy he'd be dead by sundown. So none of them soft-horned gawkers and reporter types would think to look for us till later in the day.
So that was the reason you arrived at sunrise?
Well, I'd also been monitoring Soups while I was way more than two hoops in a holler away from Earth, and saw all them fancy powers of his. And sure, I was all ready to catch this tartar. But I figured I'd get started early just in case it took all day, you know? I needed to meet my sundown deadline. Anywho, there I was, on the middle of Main Street in Metropolis, facing off against the alien symbol of truth and justice on Earth, ready to make him regret he'd ever been born. Soupy tried to show that he got sand, trying to demand what business I had with him. But afore he can finish his first sentence, he started to get all yellow, stuttering and blubbering afore, and say it with me now, his latest and greatest foe. Okay, lame-o, be that way.
Actually, what was happening to Entity Superman involved...
Fair. I just told you that. He was already so scared by my warning the previous night, and now, face to face with me all silent and stone-faced and looking him square in the eye all menacing-like, it just tipped him over the edge. Look at him covering his eyes with his hands so he didn't have to bar the sight of me.
Your observation is in error. Entity Superman
was probably not the almighty being I thought he was. Them broadcast feeds I was tapping into must have been a hunk of fake news. I figured I'd better put this super gump out of his misery, but now I also didn't think I needed to waste my most powerful weapons on him. I'd probably take him out with a single Spando bullet.
Which you fired from your six-shooter. A bullet that immediately enlarged to 57 times its original size before it struck its target.
Which was squaring that little yellow belly's little yellow belly. That crypto knot went down like a super sack of sawdust. But he was still standing. Well, sitting. Live and kicking, anyways. I'd have to switch up to my deadlier arsenal. Before I could get to that, though, Soupy picked up the crumpled Spando bullet on the street beside him and crushed it to powder. Then he used that super bad breath of his to blow that metallic dust in my face, the super four-flusher. I expected Soupy to take advantage of my blocked vision to bushwhack me blind, seeing as I tried to do the same thing to him just now. But he actually didn't do nothing except a super speed flyby over me, like a snallygaster that missed his prey. I could feel the wind as he swooshed by. I figured I had him running scared and would have to call on Minova to pursue. I should have known it was just a feint, though. By the time I cleared my eyes, the super skunk actually shot me in the back with a big chunk of that asphalt road cement. Of course, old Soups wouldn't be fool enough to try to hightail it, like Illusionary Luke had warned him back on page 3. I can track anything that moves or flies.
Actually, Entity Superman had meant to knock you over with a flying tackle while you were momentarily blinded. But instead, his flight speed and altitude suddenly increased, sending him on a trajectory that would take him beyond the atmosphere of Earth, beyond the solar system, and beyond the Milky Way galaxy.
Huh, I'd never guessed.
Did you not state that you could track any entity that flies?
Lame-o.
Fortunately, Entity Superman had managed to divert his direction to fly close enough to the Earth's moon for its gravitational pull to sling him around in the opposite direction back to where he came from. It was the impact of his crashing back to Earth on his backside that sent pieces of the Main Street asphalt flying into your backside.
Now why in tunderation would Soupy have to do that?
Since you have asked, perhaps now you will allow me to explain.
Look at here, lame-o. This here's my story and I'm gonna tell it. You dig?
Dig what?
Yeah. Anywho, I had my force field poncho on to protect me from that ass full of asphalt, so all Soupy managed to do was slap my sails for just a second. So I pick up myself and my hair case and dust myself off, all the while glaring at the super yahoo, being all intimidating like. I still needed to reload my irons with the stronger munitions, so I pulled out one of my share roots and lit it up.
Entity Superman believes that you taking a moment to light up for a smoke means that you intend to cease your conflict and instead talk things out.
Oh, yeah. I hadn't said a word all this time yet.
As unbelievable as that would seem.
I'm gonna ignore that, you frumpin' Fritzbox.
Indeed.
I told you, I was being all silent and intimidating, like my paw had learned me.
Entity Jess Manning, a notorious outlaw who robbed stagecoaches in the years 1885 to 1888.
And you saw how it rattled old Supe, so now I was just pretending to have a smoke without a care in the world, bold as brass, as if the caped goober was no big deal. And he wasn't. Now, Supes didn't know it, but my Shea Root was made from a special space weed that produces tendrils of solid smoke that can choke a man without him needing to breathe it in.
Indeed. These smoke tendrils seem to constrict around Entity Superman, who struggles to prevent one tendril from tightening around his neck.
That wagon smoke will keep him busy long enough for me to load up my smoke wagon and let drive. I found the barrel of my iron to rapid fire all 6 shots at the big galoot, each designed to explode on contact with the destructive energy of an atomic bomb.
An impressive display of gunfighting.
Why, thank you kindly, Lemo. My iron is red hot and still a-hottin'.
But would such a barrage of atomic energy to destroy Entity Superman not also destroy yourself, as well as all of Metropolis?
All right. The Blue Whistlers each had the destructive energy of an itty-bitty atomic bomb. Still more powerful than your ordinary lead plum.
Yet not powerful enough to overcome Entity Superman's invulnerability.
Nope, I suppose not. I had to acknowledge the corn and go with a slick heel.
You did state that you had discharged 6 of your atomic bullets.
That's why it's called a 6-shooter. It shoots 6.
Indeed. And yet there are only 5 itty-bitty atomic explosions deflecting off of Entity Superman's body. Did you?
I never miss. And I'm pretty sure I had all 6 beans in the wheel. I think them Swanderson artist fellers was being a bit of a coffee boiler the day they drew this here page 15. Anywho, I realized I had to use my most powerful weapon. But afore I can go about doing that, Supe suddenly done flip like a flapjack and hovering upside down a few inches off of the ground.
Affirmative. And the reason being that
he's trying to distract me. Or maybe get me all 6s and 7s so he can try to make his lucky.
Whatever you state.
Oh, I'm wise to what he was up to. I've been through the mill and no humbug when I see it. But seeing him pretending to be off his chump and be a Superman a-hangin', both figuratively and literally, it took all I have to not break my stone face by cracking a smile.
This latest difficulty does prompt you to talk.
Heh, if that was his aim, he made his jack. I was getting tired of these loco stunts. I told Supe that if he is trying to distract me with that fiddle-faddle, he's wasting his time. And his time is just about up.
Entity Superman reasons that your weapons are so advanced that they, and you, could not have possibly come from this planet. So he asked you who you are, and why you copied the lifestyle of the Old West.
That's right. You and most of the listeners out there in podcast listening land already know all about me. But this was the first time Superman had met me. And it'd be quite a few meetings before he got the whole story.
Which we had recounted in episode 2 of the Done in One Wonders podcast Wonder Show. With an abridged recapitulation of the Terraman entry in Who's Who, the definitive directory of the DC.
And that readers of this here funny book can get with the special bonus tale printed after this one, The Origin of Terraman. But we're getting ahead of ourselves, as the professor would say. Soupy don't know anything about me and assumes I'm from yonder stars, so I's gotta say to him, whoa now, let's get this straight. Only one of us is an alien, and it sure ain't me. I tell him I'm the Terraman, which means I was born on Earth. I'm no leftover from some other planet. Oh yeah, I let Soupy know that I know all about him.
Except for his secret identity.
Okay, well...
Or his favorite food.
Now wait a minute now.
Or the reason for Entity Superman's strange behavior.
Alright, now that's enough. Okay, so I didn't know everything about old Soupy, but I made him think I did. I told him he may have become this world's number one hero, but that's all over now. There ain't enough room on this planet for the both of us. Still, I gotta admit, he's harder to kill than I figured. But I had something even harder than that. My most powerful weapon, which I pulled off of the back of my right boot.
A... spur?
A spur made out of Xanoite, the hardest substance in this here galaxy. And I was able to change this spur into any shape I want. Like a bullet. Just by concentrating real hard.
As hard as Xanoite?
You know, Lamo, you don't always have to try and be as funny as you look. Or as Superman looked. Just hanging upside down like a pineapple dump cake as I load my Xanoite bullet in my iron and get ready to shoot a hole clear through his red S.
However, you did not realize that the artists, Entity Kurt Swan and Entity Murphy Anderson, were not vaporizing coffee on page 15. The reason there were only 5 explosions from your 6 bullets is that Entity Superman had caught the 6th bullet between his teeth before it could detonate, and had been keeping it hidden within his mouth until a time when he could put it to good use.
Oh, sure. And yet he was able to speak all flannelly on page 16 with an unstable atomic plum in his big bazoo.
He likely communicated with you using super ventriloquism. Another aspect of Entity Superman that you did not know about.
Super what now?
As you take aim with your 6th shooter, Entity Superman expels the atomic bullet from his mouth with such accuracy that the projectile enters the gun barrel, which then explodes and makes your weapon misfire.
So that's what happened? I thought my iron misfired by itself. I later filed a complaint at the Acme Interplanetary Novelty Arms Company for selling me a faulty product. But now I find out I was taken down by a super spit?
Actually, what had taken you down was a punch to your jaw, which is evidently not as hard as Xanoite, as the blow rendered you unconscious.
Hardy har har.
The paralyzing effect of Entity Superman's latest birth spell had started to subside just enough for him to conduct that action, even though he was still hovering in an inverted position.
I still say that was a plum lucky shot. But was this about a birth spell? Are you saying Superman was wearing the bustle wrong? Can Kryptonian males even do that?
Entity Superman was not attired in any bustle at all. I am referring to the inherent Kryptonian affliction that had affected him twice before.
Affliction?
Affirmative. But to help foster suspense among the podcast listeners, why don't we take another podcast promo break? And once we re-engage, we will uncover what really happened during Entity Terraman's showdown.
From the podcast network that brought you the phrase, Find Your Joy, comes a new initiative that taps an as-yet untouched market. Our hosts have been talking about things they love for more than a decade, and now it's time to flip the script. The Fire and Water Podcast Network presents Find Your Rage. That's it. We're done. We can't take it anymore. It's time to unload on such subjects as Tom King destroying the DC Universe. Why are movies so dang long these days? Crying babies in the next apartment while I try to record. Harry Potter is just a ripoff of Books of Magic. Janeway. Diablo Frank's comments. The trifecta of politics, religion, and Shag's opinions about Doctor Who. Every result in every bracket fight ever. And of course, Mike Barr's Outsiders. Or maybe just Geoforce. Find your rage. You'll hate it, but we don't care. Coming never once I get down this sugar rush.
It's here. Now, that's what I call Bizarro.
BM Trouble Stopper. Luthor Be Creator. Not You Superman and Twisted Duplicator.
Karaoke's newest star.
Cause me and Bizarro, number one Bizarro. None other at Bizarro's me name than Nobaro. So original Bizarro, go sit down, go sit down, go sit down.
The latest hits.
Womp, you're not am. Womp, you're not am. Womp, you're not am. Womp, you're not am. Not am, no weak, you know, look at me. Lifted arms away from sides, not saying sorry. Not 5 days, no laugh at you, not say. You not do what me not thought, you not gonna do. Bizarro wish am, be like uncool kids. Cause all uncool kids not seem am fit in. Bizarro wish am, be like uncool kids. Like uncool kids.
An incredible 5 CDs.
Bizarro, no take that. Bizarro, no take this. Bizarro, no take that. Bizarro, no take this. Bizarro, no take that. Bizarro, no take this. Bizarro, no take them. This am how. Not remind me of what Bizarro am. Get like not. Say sorry. Me no am wait for same story. Sounds like me am correct. For taking back hard work repair.
Music for everyone.
Not about then. Soul Funk Bizarro, no check out then. Soul Funk Bizarro, not about then. Soul Funk Bizarro, no check out then. Soul Funk Bizarro, me no want no. You unfeeling. There am nothing you am seek. Me no want no. You unthinking. No tell me am under feet.
Now, that's what I call Bizarro.
No hit me adult no more time.
Welcome back to Tales of the Entity Terraman, in which we are reviewing Entity Terraman's first encounter with Entity Superman, chronicled under the title The Challenge of Entity Terraman, as published in Superman Volume 1, Issue 249. We had left off halfway through the final page of the tale, numbered 18.
Right. You mentioned Super having some kind of birthday spell.
Affirmative. But your assumption that Entity Superman was pregnant is in error. The term refers to the inherent Kryptonian affliction that had affected him twice before. Delineated as Entity Superman's medical history in pages 6, 7, and 8 of this story, which you had skipped over during this review.
Okay, okay. You got me all curious now. Let's take a look-see.
When Entity Superman was a child aged approximately 9 Earth years, the young Entity Superboy was conducting a chemical experiment before his adopted parents, Entity Jonathan Kent and Entity Martha Kent, when he suddenly started to cry uncontrollably during a fit of depression. He then became suddenly and violently angry, his superpowered body destroying the chemistry set and his heat vision starting a fire, forcing his adopted parents to flee. Eventually, young Entity Superboy managed to regain control and put out the fire, and would later repair the damage he caused. However, he had no idea, quote, what had come over him. This mystery would plague him for a number of years to follow, though somehow he instinctively knew it had something to do with his Kryptonian heritage. After graduating high school, Entity Superman invented a tele-timescope, which enabled him to capture the light waves that had emanated from Krypton's former location, enabling him to survey the past of his home planet before its destruction. Through this scope, he eventually found the answer, which related to Entity Superman's birthday.
Birthday?
Affirmative. According to The World of Krypton, Volume 1, Issue 2, Entity Superman was born on 35 Eorks in the Kryptonian solar year, or Omzet, 9998, which occurred on February 29th on the Earthen calendar.
Right. And being a leap year baby, he celebrates his birthday every 4 years, which is how he stays so goddarn young.
Actually, Kryptonians commemorate the day of their birth every 6th Kryptonian Omzet. One Kryptonian solar cycle is the equivalent of 1.3687 solar cycles of Earth. So 6 Kryptonian Omzets would equate to approximately 8.2124 Earth years.
So that'll make him age even slower then.
Actually, it is a combination of his Kryptonian physiology and the sliding timescale of the DC Earth-1 universe that enables Entity Superman to remain under the age of 29 for longer than 30 years. But we digress. As shown on page 7 of Superman Volume 1, Issue 249, a Kryptonian observation of one's birthday, or first day, is not a time of rejoicing and receiving gifts like the practice of most cultures on Earth. On Krypton, it was a spell of deep personal sorrow and lamentation, as Kryptonian natives mourned the time of their birth.
Tarnation! Talk about regretting the day you've been born. But I suppose that's what I'd expect from a so-called advanced civilization that would ignore the science that's warning them that their planet is in danger. At least my home planet ain't that stupid.
Indeed. This practice of birth mourning had been practiced for several countless eons that it had become an inborn instinct within Kryptonians. The grief would thus be spontaneous and irrepressible when the time came. And for Entity Superman, those feelings of grief would upset the balance of his body's supermetabolism, which caused his motor skills and superpowers to misfire out of his control at age 9. Concerned of the outburst that may result from the next birth spell, Entity Superman attempted to use super hypnotism on himself to make him forget about his birth date and the planet and culture of Krypton, as well as plant a post-hypnotic command to feel no sorrow on the calculated date. However, that strategy failed, and when the crucial day of the second birth spell arrived, Entity Superman was once more overcome with tearful emotion. The intense grief again disrupted his supermetabolism, momentarily blanking out his vision and hearing, which almost prevented him from saving a plane in distress.
Well, of course the super self-hypno to what's it didn't work. Supy didn't know about Krypton and all of that when he was a young'un, and he still had the first birthday bout.
Indeed. Even though he erased his memory of what had happened to him when he was an onion, Entity Superman could not erase the subconscious instincts that made him a Kryptonian. Regarding the falling plane, Entity Superman, though blind and deaf, was able to detect the acrid odor of burning fuel using his super sense of smell.
Superman sure does smell, all right.
Indeed. The act of smelling the fuel alerted him to the plane's plight and enabled him to locate and catch the plummeting vehicle.
You know, the problem with you, Lamo, is that you take everything literally.
As a kleptomaniac yourself, you would surely know.
Say what now?
Do not kleptomaniacs also literally take things? Literally?
Yeah.
Apparently, this experience of the falling plane 8.2124 Earth years ago had undone all of the hypnosis Entity Superman subjected upon himself, since he was now well aware of his knowledge of Krypton, as well as the impending threat of his third birth spell, which had started immediately upon receiving the lingoplasmic warning from your spellbinding bomb on page 4 of this story.
So that wasn't me putting the poker on old Soupy with my death threat?
Negative. The muscle spasms and stomach cramps were the warning signs of the impending attack of grief, which initiated at the time he faced you on the street on June 23rd, 1971, at 11:22 a.m. Coordinated Universal Time, chronicled on page 10 of this story.
But it was me being all intimidating and menacing-like that triggered it, no?
Again, negative. The timing was simply a coincidence. In fact, Entity Superman covered his eyes with his hands because the birth spell was distorting his eyesight once again, to such an extreme that his X-ray vision was refocused inward, which made Entity Superman peer into his own brain for a few seconds. This distracted him enough for you to unfairly strike his bush with your expanding bullet on page 11.
You mean bushwhack, Lemo. I bushwhacked him.
Is whacking his bush a stipulation in the cowboy code?
Okay, lame-o. That's
the uncontrollable flight into space on page 13, as well as the inverted body position on pages 16 to 18, were also...
I get it. More afterclaps from the birthy bout.
Affirmative. And not a desperate attempt to flee or create a distraction due to the presumed realization by Entity Superman that he was facing an unbeatable opponent.
Lemo, I said that's quite an...
These were all of the observed outcomes produced by the third birth spell, which seems to trigger different effects each time. Similar to the recorded entries in my database regarding Entity Superman's reactions to the crystalline substance dubbed as Red Kryptonite.
So there's no way to predict what the next birthday bout'll do.
According to his recorded comic book history, Entity Superman never had to deal with the birth spell issue ever again. Likely because the sliding timescale of the DC Universe did not allow Entity Superman to reach the age required for him to experience his fourth birth spell. Curious. There is no record of the birth spell phenomenon recorded in any of the comic book chronicles of Entity Supergirl, who surely must have experienced the phenomenon at least twice in her recorded history. Another curiosity. The World of Krypton story, recorded in Superman Volume 1, Issue 263, revealed that the birth spell was actually a side effect of a serum designed to quell the destructive energy that naturally builds up within a Kryptonian's body.
Say what now?
According to this account, during the early days of Krypton's civilization, it was discovered that Kryptonians store up destructive bioenergy in their bodies, which would be released by expressing grief. So times of individual sorrow were also a time of devastation that threatened the entire populace. The ancient leader had come up with a solution, a serum which everyone needed to imbibe, which would absorb the bioenergy and impede its buildup, preventing further destruction. Droplets of the serum would be released from the tear ducts of the Kryptonians once every 6 solar cycles in order to expel the absorbed energy from the body harmlessly, causing the tears of sorrow experienced on every 6th Kryptonian first day.
That didn't make a lick of sense. Wouldn't it be 6 years after?
Almsets.
6. Almsets, after someone drunk the serum? How would the serum even know to release on each crypto dude's birthday?
Perhaps the serum was administered to each Kryptonian child on their first day, likely once they reached 1 Almset in age. That would explain why Entity Superman experienced his first birth spasm during the 9th year of age by Earth time measurements, instead of his 8th.
But then the birthy bouts wouldn't be an inborn instinct, as you had said.
True. Perhaps the reason for these inconsistent explanations between the World of Krypton story in Superman Volume 1, Issue 263, and this tale from Superman Volume 1, Issue 249, is that the Kryptonian birth spell is completely fictional. An elaborate plot device created by Entity Kerry Bates to ensure that Entity Superman would not had taken you out 3.28 milliseconds after you had dismounted from Equinova on page 10. Entity Kerry Bates did have 8.63 more story pages to fill.
What are you trying to say, Lemo? That I've been stringing a whizzer all of this time? and that I'm so far below Superman's class that the writer had to game Supy a bit just so I had a chance at beating him?
Negative.
Well, good. 'Cause them's fighting words.
The fact that Entity Superman had managed to ward off your attacks and subdue you even while disadvantaged by the birth spell's effects would suggest that you had absolutely 0.00 chance of defeating him if he were operating at normal capacity.
You're enjoying this, ain't you?
My programming does not enable me to feel joy. However, despite your limitations, I predict that you may enjoy this, Entity Terraman. On panel 3 of page 18, shortly after your unceremonious defeat, and Entity Superman's birth spell ends and his metabolism returns to normal,
and I'm being loaded up in a police ambulance. I remember coming to in the prison doc's office.
Entity Superman's thought balloon states that you, Entity Terraman, was, quote, the most fantastic, formidable foe he had ever faced.
Well now, how about that?
Of course, this was many months before Entity Superman encountered Entity Carb Brock. So perhaps this assessment is no longer...
Limbo, just... let me have this, will ya?
Acknowledged. Entity Superman does lament that he still knew very little about you. If you were born on Earth during the Old West, where have you been since? And how did you acquire such an amazing arsenal of weapons?
Making with the taffy won't mean I'll let up on old Supy. But I do appreciate the compliment. And all of them questions will be answered in the special feature tale in this here comic book, The Origin of Terraman. We'll cover that in our next episode. That tale's illustrated by the one-of-a-kind art team of Dick Dillon and Neil Adams.
Artists who are perceived to be most favorable by Entity Zoom Yukinori. Perhaps we should summon him to be a guest for...
Lamo, don't you understand the idea of an alibi? The alibi won't work if the professor knows when we're doing the recording.
Oh...
then my next adventure is in the next Superman comic book. It's called Have Horse, Will Fly.
From Superman Volume 1, Issue 250, which we had already covered at length with Entity Zoom Yukinori in Episode 2 of the Done in One Wonders podcast Wonder Show.
That's right. So then we'll just skip ahead to the next tale in our third episode, where I'm able to get the one-up on old Supy thanks to, believe it or not, Billy the Kid. Now, is that an exciting teaser or what?
It is what?
Well, I think it's time we wrap things up now. Thank you kindly for listening. This here's the Terra Man.
And I am Lanos. Saying,
y'all come back now,
here. Listen.
Lame-o, that's not how you say it, you yarn-yammering yak. You're like a $10 Stetson on a 5-cent head, not fit to shoot at when I unload and clean my iron. You hear me?
And now, a word from our sponsor.
I am Darkseid, Lord of Apocalypse, and I'm here to tell you about my new breakfast cereal that will make you feel like a new god. It's called Omega Grains, and it's the best tasting cereal you'll find this side of the sauce wall.
Wow, that's impressive. What kind of flavors can we expect from Omega Grains?
Omega Grains come in two delicious flavors, Boom Tube Berry Blast and Parademon Power Punch. And if you're feeling extra brave, try our limited edition Anti-Life Apple Annihilation.
Wow! That sounds incredible, Darkseid! Where can we get our hands on some Omega Grains?
You can find Omega Grains at your local grocery store in the cereal aisle. And if you act fast, you can take advantage of a special Darkseid discount. Just use the code word CALABAC at checkout and get 50% off your first purchase.
That's an amazing deal, folks! So what are you waiting for? Try Omega Grains today and join Darkseid in conquering the universe one bowl at a time.
Omega Grains are packed with all the nutrients you need to destroy your enemies in the fire pits of apocalypse. And they taste amazing too. Even Granny Goodness likes it, and she hates everything. Each bite is guaranteed to give you the strength of a new god.
The Fire and Water Podcast Network appreciates the sponsorship of Darkseid, but the playing of this promotion does not constitute or imply any endorsement or recommendation of Omega Grains by the network or its hosts.
What? You insolent huckster! Taste my Omega Beams, powered by the flavor of Omega Grains.
Meet Blot.
Hello. I am Blot.
Blot is a bot.
I am a bot.
A bot that was forced to listen to 1,000 hours of Siskoids, Who's, editing, programming. And then decided to try out as a guest.
This is my trying out, a tryout to be an editor who is editing for Who's editing. I believe my programming is suitably programmed for your program because I have the required requirements.
From the creator who shamelessly stole the idea from the guy who nicked the concept from the college housemate who cribbed it from the brilliant Twitter feed of Keaton Patty.
So now I am the who is editing a line of books, featuring an interconnected event that events across the events on all of the proposed books.
It's the most artificially intelligent tryout Siskoid ever heard.
Announcing, the DC Explosion. Which will do much better than the DC Implosion of 1978 because this event is explosive, and not implosive. Here is a sampling of sample titles to sample. Wondering Woman. Wondering Woman is a woman who wonders why she left paradise in the first place. Oh. That's right. Because it exploded. Rocketed to America in her invisible jet, Princess Diana the Princess gained powers far beyond those of women from Venus. Disguised as Diana Prince with no S, using Clark Kent's glasses, she endeavors on a never-ending pursuit of Steve Trevor, agreeing to marry him once all evil and injustice vanish from the Earth. This happens at the end of the first issue, when everything explodes. Zatanna. Zatanna Manna Fofana is secretly Zatanna Banana, who runs a fruit stand in competition with David Ace Gutierrez's franchise, so he will be her arch-enemy. Though David denies this is so. What a great cover story. Everything explodes. Guy Gardner. Guy Gardner is a guy who is a gardener. Guy Gardner, the gardener guy, is stationed on Maltus, which has a population explosion problem. But how can he solve the population explosion problem, when he is fighting the people killing the population through unhealthy eating? He can't. So the population explodes. Angel Andy Ape. Andy Ape worked at the Katana Banana fruit stand, and was killed in a tragic DAC query battle between Zatanna Banana and David Ace Gutierrez, though David denies this. Now an angel trying to earn his wings. Angel Andy Ape decides to complete his first assignment by completely winging it, and everything explodes. Thank you for listening. I hope to be editing on the show who's editing where I hope to be editing on the show who's editing where I hope to be editing on the show who's editing where I hope to be editing on the show who's editing where I hope to be editing on the show.
This here show's all done by me, the Terror Man. That's right, I'm taking credit for everything, no matter what the show notes page says. Well, okay, Lamo helped out a bit, but I did most of it. And this here's a Terror Man production. Hey now, don't go spilling the beans on that just yet, Lamo. Let's stick with this here story page and talk about the long box.
An Angratite long box?
Strong box. I meant strong box. Though an Angratite long box ain't a bad idea. A spur made out of Xanoite, the hardest substance in this here galaxy. And I was able to change this spur into any shape I want. Like a bullet. Just by concentrating real hard.
As hard as Entity Vanna White?
Oh yeah, I let Supin know that I know all about him.
Except for his secret identity.
Okay, well...
Or his favorite food.
Say what now? So that wasn't cousin... That wasn't... So that wasn't me.
That would explain why Entity Superman experienced his birth spasm during the night.
Birth spasm? Ha ha ha!
Special thanks to our Patreon supporters. For more information on how you can support the Fire and Water Podcast Network, visit patreon.com/fwpodcasts.